First of all, I apologize again for my very bad English, and I try to compensate by giving you detailed slides. So TSTV is VNC. We use Real VNC. It's the Real VNC proxy of Tor Supra, which has been redesigned and installed on the Linux server beginning of 2006, not for 2005, sorry, for the following reasons. It was the first installed on a 264 Unix system, and it was an old version, and it began to grow obsolete. And it was marginal because 264 is not so often used. It was written on the fly by myself, for myself, to be used by me. So comments in French and so on. And so it was not so easily transmissible if necessary. And as I explained this morning, new security demands obliged us to move to encrypted the professional edition, Real VNC professional edition, and change the different rules of connecting. So this document first explains you how what we can do with a TSTV proxy, what you can do with a VNC proxy, what can be done, and finally I explain some aspects of TSTV. So, there are two different VNC servers, Real VNC or VNC, the same mechanisms. You have the VNC, the window VNC server, which is called WinVNC. The window VNC server transmits the image of an existing physical screen. It's very important. So, inverted. This is WinVNC. I'm sorry, I discovered this now. This is WinVNC, and this is XVNC. Sorry. So WinVNC transmits the image of an existing physical screen, and with or without encryption, which is an option, to Real VNC clients. The WinVNC server, which is used on Unix, does not transmit the image of a virtual X screen, which is very important. In this virtual X screen, you can run any Unix application. And this is the way to give this XVNC server different behaviors. And we can have up to 99 independent VNC channels on the on Unix server proxy VNC. So how works a VNC proxy, for example? The source server, for our case, is always a physical screen of a Windows machine. And the Unix proxy server, as I explained, run an application is in virtual X screen. If the application you run in this virtual X screen here is a VNC viewer, you have created a VNC proxy. This VNC viewer is client of the physical screen, and the XVNC, which runs the VNC viewer, gives the picture to all the final clients. It's very simple. You have two different ways to connect between a source server here and a VNC viewer. Either the normal way, the VNC viewer tries to connect on the source server, for example, continuously every 30 seconds. And when the server here is opened, you can connect. There is a way so that the VNC viewer can know the password here. This way is not forbidden by USA because this is a protected area and this is a less protected area. So we use the reverse connection. The source server asks the client to connect on it. More precisely, the source server connects on the client. because the client is put in a special mode to behave like a server. So, okay. So this way the grid, we go the right direction. So if it's so easy to create a VNC channel, why do we have created JTV, TSTV, and so on? Because there is a lot of work again to do. You have to make setup for creation of different channels with different behaviors. You have to start those channels and stop cleanly, which is also a problem. To start manually, stop manually on boot or shutdown of the system. You have different actions to do. Eject, for example, eject source server, VNC servers, to know who is connected, to change password, to check for process, to check channels, and so on. You have also log file administration, and concerning JTV for ANF.TV, you have booking on clients interfaces that we don't have. There are also different other behaviors of channel. Inside the X window of the X VNC server, you can run any application. For example, you can run a standalone graphic Unix application, gathering and showing data. For example, an experiment-related mimic. So this standalone application runs by itself inside this the XVNC server under control of the XVNC server, which is able to stop it and start it. And the final client can see the picture here. You can put a monitoring, for example, here. Another way of using the XVNC server. If the XVNC channel is a virtual X screen, why don't we display on it the image of a graphic application, but running on another Unix server? It's like a screen, so it has a display variable. For example, the channel 12, the display variable of channel 12 is for the machine, if the server VNC is named per se, if you put set of display per se 12 and you run an X application on a normal standard Unix server anywhere, the X11 protocol connects on this VNC server and display the image to clients here. So inside this XVNC server, there is no application running, just XHost, this command XHost plus eventually XHost plus Atlas, to authorize the display of the picture, the X picture of this remote machine. But XVNC has no control on this application. This application must be controlled locally by this machine. It's a problem. If it crashes here, XVNC don't know anything. So this way of connecting can give problems if you have security requirements. For example, if this proxy is in a semi-public area and this one is in a more secure area. So you have been obliged to tunnel this X11 protocol inside SSH. So the display 12 of this local host, it's simply the port 6012, the TCP port 6012. If you tunnel the port 6012, you tunnel the VNC channel 12. And we have implemented RSA key exchange to start automatically this SSH tunnel. So some comments on TSTV itself. It's mostly written in Bourne shell. Don't laugh, please. And it's it's very simple. It's easy to maintain. I have fully commented it in English, and if you are interested, you can get one copy of it. So TSTV specific parameters are contained in the same configuration file that is used by RealVNC. They share the same file. So it's very easy and very fast to create a new channel, 10 minutes, no more. So, I have some comments on RealVNC professional editions, which is very stable. I have no crash, no runs. It's very stable and very good. So as very few interventions are needed on this system, I have kept only command line and interface. So in TSTV, all types of channel behaviors that I have described previously in this document are supported, even the behaviors which are not allowed. No. We have installed some Windows shortcuts to start the screen sharing. The screen sharing is started manually from the presentation machine. You have a small shortcut. You click on it, your screen is shared. You click on another icon, the screen is not shared. So we have a dedicated channel per meeting rooms. So we have 20 channels actually. Among them, 5 can be lent to external sources, and note that the external sources, so the VNC servers that you reverse connect to TSTV, are not can be of any type. To say the truth, I have not tried tight VNC. We have tried all old VNC non-encrypted, the old VNC, and also Ultra VNC. It works perfectly. But on TSTV, you know that we don't have any external web page for clients. It's purely passive, only view only. It's mandatorily it's a demand by the CA that all the stages are passive. So it's highly secured. It's a request from CAA. And the advantage, it is totally transparent for presenters, locally presenters of meeting rooms. But the drawback of such centralized VNC servers that you must gather all the presentations and move the presentation for remote users is the drawback of such servers. So I have some remarks on some subject of discussion in the case we don't have enough. It's my point of view, and we can discuss this. I think local VNC proxies such as GTV and TSTV are necessary if you want to have a personal and dedicated channels per meeting room or per project. You can give a channel, VNC channel, to a meeting room, also to a project, to a team. You need also your own VNC if you need to use special applications on presentation PC. If you need special software, you are obliged to have your own VNC server. It's typically for CAO we use special local applications. Also, if you need from your presentation PC to access local protected data, such as database, you need also your own VNC server. And if you want to design your own graphical X application channel, your own Mimix that you show via VNC, you need also your own JTV, TSTV, and so on, XTV. So collective VNC proxies such as RFDATV are very useful in my point of view if you have no resource if you have no resource or don't need to build your own server VNC. And if you need to organize on the fly meetings from anywhere, at any time, with anybody, FDATV is, I think it's a perfect tool. It's very, very easy and very fast to use at once. Some more remarks concerning VNC. VNC screen sharing is also completely independent of any audio video protocol, which is maybe a drawback, but also an advantage, as it allows you to use in parallel with any way of communication, or any mix of way of communications, which is the only problems we've got with VNC. If you use it in parallel with highly buffered streaming, generally streaming, in the best case I have seen, we have three, five, 6 seconds delay. And as VNC has almost no delay, maybe half a second, we have an unacceptable shift. We have tried to see shift. If you have 2 seconds shift, it's always usable. But after 2 seconds shift between sound on VNC, it's not usable. It's a problem. We have not, sorry, it's finished. Thank you for your attention.